Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show here on KRFY, your community radio station at 88.5. I'm Susie Prez on this beautiful Wednesday, March 20th, and I'm one of your hosts today, and I'm here with my smiling co-host, Ryan Baumgartner. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Susie. It's great to be back co-hosting the morning show with you. I know we did this a little bit when I first started here at the station, but it's always fun, so I'm glad we're doing it again.
I know. My regular co-host, Chris Bessler, is going to be on tomorrow's morning show because Jim and Jack are off and about in other places. So we're really excited. We have a great show lined up for you on this, again, first day of spring, right? And Ryan, why don't you tell us what we're going to be doing today with our guests? We have six guests in the studio.
That is correct, Susie. The studio is pretty packed today. We have a couple of guests from the Sandpoint Waldorf School. We have Kelly Keatsman, the 8th grade teacher, and the 8th and 7th grade at the Waldorf School are putting on a play coming up soon. We'll talk about that. Les Mis, going to be at the Panada here pretty soon, and she brought some of her students with her. We have Lark Waldrup, Priya Sullivan, Kaisa Orr, and Grace Rookie, as well as Aiden Heights. So thank you guys for coming down.
And we're going to hear all about this amazing production that you're putting on that will be performed at the Panada next Wednesday and Thursday. And we'll hear all about it and really how it comes about that a Waldorf school has an 8th grade play every year and what that really means and how it came about and things like that. But always, first, what do we do, Ryan?
Well, we're going to tell you a little bit about the weather, what's going on in the community. So let's go. What do we have for the weather?
It's the first day of spring, and we're all very excited. We've been enjoying some beautiful weather lately. From the National Weather Service, currently it's 28 degrees. It feels warmer than that, maybe in anticipation of the warm day with a high of 59. Sunny, that's all they're saying. Light winds, and tonight a low of 33. Tomorrow, high 60. Again, just sunny with light winds. And Thursday night, increasing clouds with a low of 33. I think Saturday night and Sunday, there could be a little bit of clouds in the sky and a little bit of rain, but only at 40%. So celebrate spring, everyone. It's a good day.
It is. While we're talking about our Waldorf guests, I wanted to tell everyone my Waldorf class, the class of 2015, I believe. Yes. We're seniors now at the Sandpoint High School, and two of our Waldorf graduates are the valedictorian and co-salutatorian. The valedictorian is Alana Seifert from my class, and the co-salutatorian is Chloe Braid. So that's pretty cool. We've got two salutatorians, co-salutatorians, and a valedictorian. So three of the top students, two of those are Waldorf grads.
And we have to say congratulations to Alana and Chloe. What a great honor for them as they move out of high school years into the next step for them. So we wish them well.
Definitely a great four-year accomplishment.
We also want to give you a little bit of what we call a Sandpoint City Minute. And the only thing I have today from that is to stay clear of the moose. The Idaho Department of Fish and Game is reminding people to give moose, however many you see, a wide berth amid reports on social media of people getting up too close and personal with the large ungulates. The department is seeing an increase in calls regarding moose in the residential areas of our town. Please do not feed them. Do not get close to them. It is probably time when babies are being born and mothers are very protective. So heads up on that, folks. I see them all the time in my neighborhood.
I know. One came up to the window. Benji, the little four-year-old I watched, was very excited, but it was a very thin piece of glass. So that got me a little bit worried. It was right there. I can't believe it. In town. And then you go out to where I live outside of town, you don't see them.
There you go. Watch them for the moose. Be aware of them. And they're all over the place. So. Well, Sandpoint Waldorf School, good morning, Sandpoint Waldorf School 8th and 7th graders.
Good morning, Miss Press.
It's very nice to have you here, and we're very excited. I know that you have been classmates for a long time. Some of you, I am looking, and I remember you in preschool and kindergarten. Wow. It's been a long journey, and this is kind of one of the combinations. And I first want to ask the teacher, Ms. Keatsman, you can use Ryan's microphone. How did you, it's my understanding, I know this because, well, whatever. The Waldorf 8th grade classes produce and perform a major classic live play at the end of their 8th grade. They do plays all through the school years, the elementary classes. But why is this part of the curriculum, actually, for an 8th grade class to do something this big? Because this is big.
This is big. Well, I remember when they were first graders and we did a fairy tale, and it was the devil and the three golden hares. And I knew then, ooh, this class, they're good actors. They like to perform. They like to be with one another, playing together, whether that was at recess or while we're actually having our rehearsal time. And so each year, every year we've done a play, just like every Waldorf class does. And gosh, it was probably around fifth or sixth grade when we started talking about, can we do something at the Panada for eighth grade? Can we do something big? They're also a talented bunch of singers. And I love singing. I love musicals. And so I knew I wanted to do a musical. And we do try to pick something that lines up with the curriculum. And so seventh and eighth grade, part of the curriculums of that of those years is looking at human revolutions in history. And also just as it lines up, that's when we really begin to revolt as human beings ourselves. Like my perfect little students have all of a sudden their own opinions and things they want to do and believe in and stand up for and protest against. And so it's perfect to meet them in that way to do this play about revolutions. And so we decided to go for it. Some of my colleagues said, this is a rather ambitious choice. And Les Mis certainly is an ambitious choice, but I really believe in my class. And when I found out that the seventh grade class, who is also such a talented group of students, and their incredibly talented teacher, Sarah Schaefer, who also has always put on great plays, when they said they would do it with us, I knew that we could take on this ambitious choice.
So it's partly your decision, but you probably worked with the class and brought it to them with a picture of what this play brings to live audit, you know, in the live way. So what about this one, besides the fact that it's revolution? What is this play about?
Well, it's really about love. It's really about the revolution of love, and how different human beings go through that in different ways in their life, how they choose love or don't choose love, and then what happens. And I don't just mean romantic love, but that's very key in the play, but it's the love of parents, it's the love of a belief, it's the love of the law for Javert, for example, who is one of the students, is playing him today, is here. So it's love in many different forms. And yeah, it's taken some time, I mean, to unfold this play. I saw it when I was a young girl, and then again as a teenager, and directing it this time, and then talking to other colleagues who've given me their feedback about the play and the book and what it means to them has just continued to open doors for me as well in understanding it. So I think we keep understanding it as we keep rehearsing it and unfolding what's there.
Well, let's find out from some of the students about how... What question could we ask them, Ryan, about how they took this play on and what you first thought of it and what you think of it now? How about that? Maybe we'll start with, you mentioned Javert.
Yeah.
And that this is an eighth grade student named Aiden Heights. And you are also doing the backdrops and some of the work on stage. Mm-hmm. So, Aiden, the question would be, what did you find originally that this play may have meant to you, as Ms. Keatsman mentioned, about love in so many different ways? And how has it evolved, and how do you understand that?
Well, at first when I heard that we were doing this play, the night before I had a dream that we were actually doing this play. So when Ms. Keatsman told us this play, I was just shocked, like, wow, and we were actually doing this. And I first watched the play when I was like 8 years old, and I just loved it, and I always wanted to do it since then. And when Miss Keatsman told us that we're doing it, I was just excited. And it worked out so much better than I thought it would. Like, I thought this would not really worked out at all, being honest now. But I think this is going to be a fantastic performance, and I think you should come and watch.
Good promo there. What part do you play, and how did you evolve into that part?
Well, I'm Javert, and most people consider me as a bad guy. And at my house, I like following the rules most of the time. And at first, I did not want this part, but then I wanted the biggest part. But then there was a girl in my class, and I feel like it was her time to have a good part. And then Javert was the next option. I was like, yeah, I think this is what I should be, and I really like the part, and I'm glad I became Javert.
And for your eighth grade project, you worked with Peter Gotzinger. And what part of your eighth grade project is involved in this play?
Well, we had to make the set, the backdrops, and paint it all. And that was a big project, but I was really excited to do it because I learned so much, and my art before I did this project wasn't that good. And I just improved my art by like 200%, I think. And I got to build it as well and just learn how the audience see the set and how you need to have certain colors and to make sure that it's on. You don't want to take the eye off the set. The set is just for the time and the place.
I've actually had the pleasure of seeing some of the sets that you created when I came down to do some recording with the class. And I immediately recognized it from the style, Peter's style, from Michael Seifert's huge production. Can you tell me a little bit about how you decided what you were going to create? I know you can't make everything that you see in the movie or something like that. You can't make all the sets. What was really important for you, some sort of item that really paints the picture for the audience?
Well, I want to do something different compared to it, like, because most plays, they will have just a bridge, but I wanted to be different from everyone else, and Peter had the same idea. So he told me to make 3 or 4 drawings of what I thought could be the design, and the one that he really liked was 2 towers, and it was different from everyone else's, and that's what I really wanted. I wanted something different. I didn't want to copy someone else's idea, and I want to have backdrops so it gives it more depth to it all. And yeah.
Well, thank you, Aiden. That gives us a little picture. It doesn't give us a colorful picture. Are the sets pretty colorful?
Well, they are colorful, but it's more of a darker because it's a darker play. So, yeah.
Okay. And that play, again, I'm just going to mention this several times, is next Wednesday, March 27th, and Thursday, March 28th at the Panada. And we'll hear more about where to get tickets and things like that a little bit later. But I wanted to get to the four very patient girls. We have a 7th grader, Grace Rookie. And you came into this play. Had you ever heard about Les Miserables? And how did you first think when you were given a part? You were enthusiastic about joining the group, but what is your part, and what have you learned as you've progressed into that part?
I had no clue what Les Mis was about at all, and so when I auditioned for something completely different, I didn't know what it was or whatever, and then I was asked to come back out and audition for Cosette. And that's what I'm playing. And Cosette, I feel, is really I don't really know how to explain her, but she's very, like, lovely and light and very in love, and she plays a romantic role in the play, and that's kind of what she's about.
Well, thank you. And how much work, Grace Rookie, have you had to put into this play up to this point? I mean, we're getting pretty close to, rehearsals major rehearsals?
I feel like it's taken a ton of work. We started about a month early. We've been doing practices from 8 to 3 every day for the whole week. We've been taking up weekends, singing a lot, taking out specialty classes. It's taken a lot of work.
Something I always think about when you do a musical is there really is twice as much work, isn't there? You've got this huge play production that, you know, that's going to be something you have to do in your eighth grade play. But then you've also got this musical aspect where you have to learn many songs, some with some complex harmonies, things like that. That just adds a whole nother layer of complexity. Have you, so I'm assuming you've been working on this for a while. When did you guys actually start learning some of the songs, start practicing the play?
In November, like the very, very, like a few months before we actually started rehearsing, we started singing with a pianist.
Okay, well, I just want to remind the listeners that we are here live in the studios. This is the morning show. This is 88.5 KRFY, your listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're here with some of the students from the Sandpoint Waldorf School, 8th and 7th grade students, and their teacher, Kelly Keatsman, who are putting on the production of Les Mis, also known as Les Miserables. Is that how you say it?
Les Miserables.
Yeah, Les Miserables. And this is the school edition, and this is the Sandpoint Waldorf School students. So we are talking about music.
Yes, I had the wonderful opportunity to get a sneak peek for you guys. Some of the music that you're going to be hearing at the show. This one is a clip from At the End of the Day, and I got the chance to record a little bit of this with Kaisa Orr, who is in the studio with us, and we'll hear from her a little bit later. But we got a great solo from her, and we're going to play that clip here now for you. This is a clip from At the End of the Day. That was At the End of the Day, a little clip from the Sandpoint Waldorf School's production of Les Mis, which is going to be at the Panada on Wednesday the 27th and Thursday the 28th at 6:30. We'll talk about where to get tickets. I think the Panada.org as well as the Sandpoint Waldorf School have them available, and I'm sure we'll cover that. But if we could, really quickly, the solo there at the beginning was from Kaisa Orr, who's sitting down in the studio with us. Good morning, Kaisa. Do you think you could tell me a little bit about your part and what is going on in that solo that we just heard from you?
I play Valjean, who is the main character. Normally it's a male, but I am playing a female version of her. And she is, well, the song, she is, there was just a fight that happened in her factory, and she's saying, telling someone to deal with it, and then just walks away.
So, Kaisa, this play, and I have to say, I don't really know that much about it, but it's during the French Revolution, I'm guessing, and it's about factory workers and...
No, it's about... So Valjean at first is a slave in the beginning, but then she runs away and lives and becomes this different person. And then she has her own business and everything. But then Javert, the antagonist who Aiden Heights plays, finds out who she is and chases after her for years and years.
So it's just a story about moving through life.
Yeah. Becoming a mother, she takes in this child whose mother dies and raises her as her own. And
did you find a kindergartner to be that child?
Well, in the very beginning, for the younger version of her, Miss Keatsman's daughter plays Cosette. And then Grace Rookie plays her, the older grown-up version of her. And Valjean loves her as her own and then has to, like, let her go because she is in love and this play is about love.
And that's kind of what parents have to do. So it's kind of a story about life in general in a different, with a subject, the French Revolution.
Can Ms. I hop in about you that? Bet. Yeah, and just that clip that you heard that Kaisa sang where she was in the factory and there was a fight that broke out, that was actually when she fired Cosette's mother. So she fired, who Lark is playing, who's here with us today, she fires her mother and sends her into a life of despair, which eventually leads to her death. And then it's this karmic thing, right, where Valjean then ends up raising Fantine's daughter, who Lark plays. So that's just another important part about that clip that you heard. And then I just want to clarify the time and space of this play. It's set during the student revolution, which comes after the French Revolution. But we decided to play it as having a time and space that's left to the imagination. So you will... There are costumes that are period costumes and there are costumes that are more modern, and that was all intentional and a lot of thought went into the coloring of the costumes and all of that. So look forward to seeing that in the play.
Okay, well, let's talk with Lark then, since you're the mother of all these, one of these people, Cosette,
mm-hmm.
the mother of Cosette, Lark Waldrop. Lark, I want to get to the costumes too, because I bet that's amazing. But your part, tell us about how you first came to that part, how you moved into it and interpreted it, and then where you're at with the acting part.
Well, originally I didn't actually want to play Fantine, who I am playing. Oh. I wanted to play Javert, but Miss Keatsman wanted me to audition for Fantine, so I did, and I got the part. And since then I really enjoy playing this part, actually, and I'm glad that I got it instead of Javert. And I actually, we changed things around a little bit, so I haunt Javert, so I get to sing one of his songs, which is great, because I wanted to sing that song. So I'm really glad that that worked out.
Actually, I had a question. I know when we did our 8th grade play, everybody pretty much knew exactly what they wanted before we started auditioning or anything like that. And... much of the time, that changes much from what you originally picture it's going to be. And so this question, I think, is for Kelly. And knowing students for so long, you know, the Waldorf idea is that hopefully a teacher is with the class from first through eighth grade. Do you think that sometimes you have a idea of a person who you think is just perfect for a part, even if they're not quite sure of it themselves?
Definitely. And some of them, all of them, are sitting in this room right now. not really any of them were quite sure about the part that I had in mind for them. But class teacher knows best. They didn't have a choice. So, yes, I had a lot of the parts planned for these students, and in some ways felt that they've been planned for them for years, because I had considered Les Mis probably back in 5th or 6th grade, had started thinking about doing this play just because I loved it so much. And yeah, just knew who some of them would be because of their talents, because of what they could strive for in themselves to play these roles. So it's not supposed to be typecast. It's supposed to be they're given these roles so they can stretch and grow and see sides of themselves they didn't know were there. That makes sense.
And when did they start working on this play?
Well, the music rehearsal started in the fall. When did you all get your parts? Right before Christmas break. So they were learning lines. And some of them learned their lines right away. And some of them finished learning their lines last week. You know who I'm talking to right now, if you're listening. So it's good, though. Everybody has their lines. We're getting comfortable with the music. The music, like Ryan said, is for sure the most difficult part because we don't have a piano player with us 24/7 during rehearsal. So we have to do a lot without her. And then when she's there, it's getting used to it, getting comfortable, because she's actually playing the orchestral version on the piano. So it's complicated. So they're being asked to do a lot. It's not just following chords. It's singing above orchestral music.
This sounds like a really big production. I'm sure there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work. Also, let's talk with Priya Sullivan for a moment. Good morning, Priya. And what part do you play? How are you feeling about the fact that a week from today, tonight, you will be performing it on the big stage at the Panada? And just tell us a little bit about your process.
Well, I play Eponine. And she is a very, like, most people in other Broadway plays play her as a kind of weak character, but I'm playing her as a very strong person because she loves Marius, but Cosette and Marius fall in love, and it destroys her life, basically. He was her life, and... But at the end of her life, she gets shot, and she shows real strength in that she can let go and say, "I love you, but you don't love me back, but that's okay."
And through the process, learning your lines, living into that part, you say you kind of changed it up a bit instead of the weak character, a stronger person. How are you feeling about where you're at?
I am feeling pretty good. I'm a little nervous for some of the big parts in our play, but I'm really excited to be on the Panada stage.
Just through our conversation, I'm noticing some themes, sort of like when you were just talking about, you know, being able to say, this man doesn't love me back and that's okay. I'm going to try to move on from that. And different things like that kind of apply to life then and life now. Is that kind of why you decided to take away this complete time set in the French Revolution and try to apply these ideas to any time period?
Yes, that's exactly right, Ryan. Another big change that we made in the play, as Kaisa had already mentioned, is Valjean is being played as a female. Kaisa's a strong enough actress that she could have played it as a male, but we very consciously made that into a female role. We've also made some of the revolutionaries who in the original play are all male into females. Like the leader of the revolution is a female character, and most of the revolutionaries are female. And we're trying to create more of a balance between the masculine and the feminine in this play and showing how both exist in each other and both are needed. And I think that is quite a modern idea that we're trying to bring to this production and feel really excited and inspired about bringing.
I just want to remind the listeners again, this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show. We're here in the studios live with students and teacher from the Sandpoint Waldorf School talking about their upcoming performance of Les Miserables that will be at the Panada Wednesday and Thursday, March 27th, 28th. You can get tickets at iCarts, Sandpoint Waldorf School, and online at www.panada.org. And let's continue this conversation. Should we hear that other song, Ryan? You'd have to help me with that because I don't know about this.
Why not? And I was so excited when I got to record this one. This is Do You Hear the People Sing? And for me, it is the song that I just really associate with this play. When I think about this play, that's the song I think about. So I was really excited to hear that, and we're going to go ahead and play that for you now. This is just a clip from a rehearsal I got to go and look in on, kind of behind the scenes, a cool different perspective. So.
Okay, and in a little bit, we're also going to hear, they're going to sing live here in the studios. For right now, we're going to hear this pre-recorded. Thank you, Ryan, for doing that, going over the school. Do You Hear the People Sing? And we'll be right back. This is part of Les Miserables. And here you go.
Music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Join in the fight that will give you the right to be free. Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
And that was the Sandpoint Waldorf School singing a pre-recorded song that Ryan went over the school and got. Kelly, Miss Keatsman.
Yes.
Eighth grade teacher, yes. 1 through 8. Wow, here you are. Tell us a little bit about that song and how it fits into the play.
The one you just heard, the People song?
Yes.
Well, like Ryan said, that's sort of the best known, like, this is Les Mis song, though there's so many good ones in there. That's a song sung by the revolutionaries that I was mentioning earlier, and that is a song rallying the people historically of France to gather together and stand up for a better life, a life that's not one of misery, of poverty, but one in which equality reigns, basically.
Okay. Nope. Okay. So I wanted to get back to the students a little bit, and then we're going to hear a live song, and they're going to all sing this morning. Tune up your voices, children, students. I want to get back to Aiden. So how are you feeling about the upcoming performance next Wednesday and Thursday?
Well, I'm not nervous. I know it's going to work out just fine. But of course, you're going to be nervous when you go on stage and say your first line, because you're going to have 200 people or more watching you. So I am nervous, but I know nothing bad can happen. It's going to all work out.
And girls over there, smiling girls, how are you feeling? And who do you hope shows up? And what do you hope they gain from seeing this spectacular performance that you're putting together and working so hard on? Any one of you, let's say Lark Waldrop.
Well, I'm nervous. I think the play still needs work, but I think we can pull it together. And I'm really excited because my grandparents are coming, and I'm pretty sure this is their first play of mine that I've had done throughout being in Waldorf that they're going to see, so I'm really excited for that.
Very good. And Priya Sullivan, how are you doing?
Well, when people come to see this play, I hope they leave with a feeling of or a greater understanding of the story and what it means, all the different aspects of love in the story. And I hope that they can come away with a deeper understanding of that in their daily life.
And do you think you'll come away from the Sandpoint Waldorf School with that kind of a feeling?
Definitely, especially for my classmates.
Oh, that's sweet. And Grace Rookie, seventh grade, you still have next year to do another play, but and how are you feeling about moving into the play spirit right now?
I think we're all a little nervous, but I think we're going to be able to pull it off, and it's going to be, like, really good time. And it's also been a great time to, like, get to learn who the eighth graders are, because I've never really, spent any time with them at all. And so, like, working with them has been really great.
Oh, thank you, Grace Rookie. And Kaisa, or how are you doing? You have a big part. Is it a big part? Lots of lines?
Yes. Okay. A lot of lines, and plus the chorus lines that we all have to learn. Mm-hmm. I am really nervous, but really excited at the same time. I think we're all going to do an amazing job, but it's still very stressful. And like Grace was saying, it's been really nice to work with the seventh graders for this play, because it feels like we're really, like, bonding as a group of people instead of just, like, the seventh graders and the eighth graders are separate.
Mm-hmm. You're all down in the basement. And okay, Ms. Keatsman has something to say.
Something that's a little unique about the Waldorf School is that we study subjects in blocks. And so we start the year, let's say, with a block of anatomy. And then we go into a block of history. Then physiology, math, we study in blocks. So we do intense work for a month to 6 weeks, and then we move on to something else. And so that's the way we do our plays as well. So yes, we did start this play many months ago in a gentle way, like once or twice a week singing the songs. But how we have done it in the past month and a half is like full on intense play rehearsal to go along with the block system in which we learn at the Waldorf School from first through eighth grade. And most, I think most theaters that would put on a production like this would give it 3 months of intense rehearsal, you know, into that from getting out of school and then going all afternoon and evening. So it's pretty amazing what these students have been, I don't want to say groomed, but like inspired, to be able to do, because it is a huge amount of work for them to take on in just a very short period of time.
Definitely, and I know there's getting up there and you're a little nervous and just going with it. I remember one year, I think Abby Daly in my class, we got stuck, and so I think she ended up saying, "Let us go then," and we all left, and that was funny. We still see her and say, when we're ready to go, "Let us go then," because we all still remember it. And those things are funny and memory building, and you definitely learn how to work through things naturally if you have to when you come up to something, because, you know, the unexpected happens up there. But a lot of the time, somebody won't notice it if they don't haven't seen you rehearse the whole time. And I think that that's definitely the case, because I got home and my mom said, "What? I didn't notice." But we all did, and it was hilarious to think about. I know you were going to perform a song for us, another one. Do you want to introduce that? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So we are going to sing a portion of the epilogue, so the finale of the play. And setting the scene for this song, Valjean is an older woman now. She's already said goodbye to her life with her daughter, who's now just been married. Cosette married Marius. But then they actually return to find her. And so Kaisa, playing Valjean, will start with singing "Now You Are Here." And she's speaking to her daughter, Cosette, who's not ready to let her go. Grace will sing that. And then the spirits of Fantine and Eponine, who have died already in this play, will come and guide and welcome Valjean into the great beyond after life. So we usually do this with a piano as our anchor, so I know they're a little nervous to be doing it a cappella. I'm going to give them a note, and then they're going to go for it.
Now you are here, again beside me. Now I can
my life is blessed. You will live, Mama, you're going to live. It's too soon to say goodbye. Yes, Cosette, forbid me now to die. I'll obey, I will try. On this page, I write my last confession. Read it well, when I at last am sleeping. It's a story of those who always loved you. Your mother gave her life to you, then gave you to my keeping.
Come with me, where chains will never bind you. All your grief, at last behind you. Lord in heaven, look down on her in mercy.
Forgive me all my trespasses and take me to your glory.
Take my hand, we'll lead you to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God.
Oh my goodness. Go ahead, Ryan. We should be clapping, right?
I was close, and then I was remembering I'm in the studio. I can't do these things. It's like laughing.
That was beautiful, girls. Thank you so much. And we want to thank the Sandpoint Waldorf School for coming in and telling us about the play. Once again, Ms. Keatsman, I'm going to let you promote it a little bit.
And yes. Les Miserables School Edition. Come see us at the Panada Theater Wednesday, March 27th and Thursday, March 28th at 6:30. You can buy tickets at the Sandpoint Waldorf School front office, at Eichardt's Pub, online at panada.org. And they are $7, which I think is a pretty good price for what you're going to see. So we'd love to see you there. This play means a lot to us. The Sandpoint community means a lot to us, and we want to share it with all of you.
You know, I think it's going to be a wonderful play, and it might be more than 200 people. I have a feeling, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And some of the good news is what you've learned. I love that the fact that the 8th and 7th grade got to know each other better, and that cooperation and collaboration that you experienced. And you'll have a great Thursday evening after party where you can say, we did it. So good job, 7th, 8th graders, and Ms. Keatsman, bravo. And we are going to take a short musical break, and Ryan and I will be back for the rest of the morning show. This is a Loving Spoonful song called Daydream. It was from 1966, and it was their anthem to spring, which is today. So we'll be back in just a little bit with some information about what's going on in town. Stay with us and enjoy the Loving Spoonfuls, a Daydream. Daydream.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream. Dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun. And follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. It's starring me in my sweet dream. Cause she's the one makes me feel this way. And even if time is passing me by a lot, I couldn't care less about the dues you say I got. Tomorrow I'll pay the dues for dropping my load.
a pie in the face for being a sleepy bulldog. Feeling right, a daydream will last long into the night. Tomorrow at breakfast you may pick up your ears, or you may be daydreaming for a thousand years. What a day for a daydream, custom made for a daydreaming boy. I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy.
And that was the Lovin' Spoonful's Daydream, and it is the first day of spring, and I'm here at Suzy Prez in the studio with Ryan Baumgartner. He's my co-host today, and we just had the 8th and 7th grade students and the 8th grade teacher in our studio from the Sandpoint Waldorf School talking about, what were they talking about, Ryan?
Well, they were talking about their upcoming show at the Panada. It's Les Miserables, and that is at the Panada Wednesday and Thursday, the 27th and 28th. At 6:30, and I know tickets are available at the Sandpoint Waldorf School, www.panada.org, as well as the iHearts Pub. And I gotta say, listening to them talk and also having the opportunity to go and watch them rehearse and get some recordings of some of their great songs was... It's gotten me pretty excited for this show, and I'm going to be going on Wednesday. I hope you get a chance to go too, Suzy.
Well, I'm going. We'll invite everyone from the community to see something extraordinary.
I think we have to, and that's what's great about this program. We have the opportunity to sit down and let all of our listeners know about the different things going on and the importance behind them as well. And being a Waldorf graduate myself, we did a play at the Panada, and... that is such a experience for the students as well. It's a lot of growth as well. I mean, you're up there for a fair amount of time. There's the lights and all the people, and it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but that's something that you just have to work through when you're up there. And I think that's special because you come away stronger for it, I believe. Just like the first times we're here in the studio and our hands are shaking on the board, like that.
Mine still do.
I know, when you have to do something complicated. But it's that kind of being on the spot and being able to work through that that I think is super important, and why it really does fit as a whole learning block in the Waldorf curriculum.
It's a challenge, but they're going out into the world and challenges will be in front of them. And it's how you meet those challenges with strength and courage that matter.
That's completely correct, Suzy. You know, they're leaving eighth grade and going towards high school, which is a challenge in itself, the transition to something completely different from what you may be used to. And I think that a play like this and kind of puts you on the spot and gets you comfortable with being fairly uncomfortable at some point.
It sounds good. I want to talk a little bit, Ryan. You are the host of the 3 o'clock Rush, which is every Thursday at 3 o'clock, and also we reboot it on Friday nights at 10. You are a high school senior, and you came into the KFY studio as a guest, part of the men's choir, and then you said, I want to be a KFY, I want a show, and you worked really hard, and you have a show. So I just want to say thank you for doing that, because we love your show. A lot of adults love your show. It's not just for high school, but give a description of your show and what people can expect at 3 o'clock on Thursdays.
Well, you are so welcome, Suzy. I enjoy spending time here in the studio. On Thursdays, we have the opportunity to sit down with different groups from the high school, classes, clubs, sports teams, or we've even had some groups that are putting on a production, like a play or something, come in, and we talk about what they're doing, how it's benefited them through high school, and how younger students can get involved in the future. One of our missions with the program is to not only get students involved in the high school, but to get the community involved with the high school. And I think that that's super important as high schoolers become more active community members, leave high school, and start working with our community more. And I think that just letting people know about the things that we do at the high school, the things you can go see and be a part of, the fundraisers we do for the different causes we support. And then I also like to sit down and play some music, have a good time. We play a couple games on the show, get to know some people. It's a fun program.
I love the music because I probably wouldn't hear that, but it's good music. You have a good ear. And recently you and I went over to the high school and talked with some students from the Cedar Post. Why don't you give everyone a little clue about what's coming up next year?
Actually, I'm really excited about some of the collaboration KRFY we'll be doing with the high school in the future. Unfortunately, all things come to an end at some point, and I will be heading off to college, and the program will still have to go on. And I'm really excited to announce that the Sampline High School Cedar Post, who puts out the school's award-winning newspaper and social media publications, will be taking on the program. So we will still have voices from the high school on the air at KRFY for years to come. And I'm really excited about this partnership because it brings great sustainability to the program. And it's going to allow us to, as high schoolers get older and age out of the program, to be able to continue this program with KRFY and the relationship that we've built with the community.
You know, from the very beginning, I've been here, what, 6, 7 years? And one of the things, my goals was to get the voice of the high school. I wanted to have that voice. It's our community. And I just want to thank you officially on the air for initiating it by making your show. You've done a remarkable job. People love your show. I know that for a fact. And without that pilot program that you put together, this idea that the Cedar Post is going to always have a voice on KRFY is because of you. So thank you so much, Ryan.
No problem. I enjoy being at the station quite a bit, and I'm excited to be a bigger part of the morning show as well, filling in for co-hosts this summer. And I will be with the 3 o'clock rush all the way through the summer as well. And we're going to be playing more music. I like to think music in a seasonal way as well. I know we were playing a song that's kind of signifies spring here. And we're going to be playing fun, upbeat music for summer. Music that you think about when you are cruising down the highway lakeside here in Sandpoint. We have a beautiful outdoor opportunities here. And that's the kind of music I like to play.
Why don't you give us a clue what this Thursday's 3 o'clock rush at 3 o'clock will be about? What's your guest lineup?
Definitely. I'll give you for the next couple weeks. This week, we are going to be hearing from the Academica group, the Academic Decathlon group, and they just won their state level for Academica here in Idaho. They are the state championships champions, which is amazing for the Sandpoint High School. And then we're going to move on over the spring break week, which is the first week of April. We're going to have a music-only program. We're going to play songs that signify spring, sit down, talk about those, and get everybody excited for the snow to melt away and the leaves and flowers to come up from the ground.
Bike riding to
definitely begin. It will be an outdoor time of year. And then we're going to be hearing from the Sandpoint High School's production of Annie.
That's right. You're going to interview them coming up here pretty soon. Well, folks, we're coming kind of to the end of our time here. I want to remind you that tomorrow on the morning show, Chris Bessler will be the host.
Yes.
And he'll be sitting down with Mandy Evans, executive director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter. They have all kinds of news coming up. And also a second interview will be with folks from the Master Naturalists. They have classes that they give, and we'll hear all about them. That's tomorrow at 8 a.m. on the Thursday edition of The Morning Show. And tomorrow it will be Chris Bessler will be your host. Next week, we have a whole lineup. You know what we really want you to do is like us on Facebook. You'll get notices of what, who, and when the morning show is happening. That's basically every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Also, you can hear the podcasts of today's show and any of our morning shows by going to krfy.org. And we podcast our morning shows. It's under podcast recorded. So like us on Facebook, visit us on the web. Anything else?
Well, I really like that we podcast our shows. It's always fun to tell the guests that they can go and hear themselves on the radio. That's always fun, and I've enjoyed that.
They get a kick out of it.
They do. We just let our Sandpoint Waldorf School guests know. Some were excited, some were a little terrified. Hearing yourself is different, so that's exciting.
That's exciting. We're going to go out with two songs. It is the, you'll probably hear one, part of one, but all of the Lemon Drops. I Live in the Springtime. This is from the 50s, so I don't really know. Oh, it's from the 60s, actually. I don't really know much about this song, but I like the title, I Live in the Springtime. I'm ready for that. And then after that, you'll hear Brandi Carlile, Have You Ever. We hope you have a beautiful day. And Ryan, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Susie.
Everything that feels just as it